Let's head to Ottawa now. The host of TSN Drive, or the Drive on TSN 1200 in Ottawa. Here's Ian Mendez. How you doing, Ian?
Gentlemen, doing all right. How are you?
Good, thanks.
We're fascinated with your hometown. It is quite the scene in Ottawa. We're just discussing, you know, the likelihood of them blowing it up and coming up with a 3 or 5 year plan. And we were really debating whether or not it would even be considered that, considering they were the second last team in the league a year ago. But how do you see this playing out? I mean, do you sense they're going to be in it to win it next year, or could you see them almost making moves and by doing so admitting that they're not expecting to be any good next year?
I think that they're kind of, all the moves that they're making, guys, seems to be headed towards a path of a rebuild. It really does, right? I mean, you go back to the trade deadline, you trade Derek Brassard and Dion Phaneuf and Nate Thompson, all these guys that you brought in when you were had this win now philosophy, right? I think the philosophy was 18 months ago, Pierre Dorion said, we got a window with Erik Karlsson, we got to take a run at it, and if we're successful, we can win a cup, and if not, hey, at least we pushed our chips into the middle of the table. And now, I think that they're headed towards a rebuild. I mean, you trade Mike Hoffman away, and you're really not getting, and I think this is the most vexing part for Ottawa, you're not even getting a prospect back. You're getting a serviceable NHL player. I'm saying that this is absolutely headed towards a rebuild, and to me, I think their best play here is probably to move Erik Karlsson at some point this week, because quite frankly, if he's not going to come back and he doesn't want to sign up for a rebuild, I think you have to move him at the draft.
You're right, Ian. And I mean, what type of shockwaves has this sent through the city of Ottawa alone? I mean, I know this story with Erik Karlsson and Mike Hoffman's fiance and all of that. I mean, it sent shockwaves outside the hockey world. What were things like in Ottawa when it went down?
Yeah, and you know what? It's fascinating, right? Because remember last year when Ottawa was in the playoffs and the hockey world had an eye on Ottawa, the feeling was, you guys are so boring and you play a boring style of hockey and you can't sell out your games. And Ottawa went deep in the playoffs and had this reputation to be super boring. Then in the year that they missed the playoffs, they become this unbelievable soap opera that the hockey world, and as you mentioned, Noodles, like the you know, even non-hockey people were fascinated by this story. It was a bombshell. I mean, really, I think we've been through a lot in this market when you look at some of the high-profile departures from Danny Heatley to Jason Spezza to Daniel Alfredson to Alexi Yashin. Like, you go down the list, and we've never seen a story play out like this where now Mike Hoffman is left. And I don't think Mike had the same star power as those guys I just mentioned. But it also feels like Erik Karlsson's on the way out, and this might be the final straw, the final piece. And I just think, like, this market has gone through so much in the last 10 months where I think there's a little bit of exhaustion, a little bit of a sense of resignation that I'm not sure what fans have that they can hold on to. So this has been one of the most unbelievable and fascinating weeks, I think, in the history of this franchise.
Ian, I asked Bob McKenzie this question. We had him on earlier, but is there any kind of talk or path to a resolution to this situation? Like, are we going to find out if Mike Hoffman's fiance actually did this or not? Is there a time frame? I would imagine everybody involved would want to get to a conclusion, unless she actually did do it and she doesn't want the truth to come out.
No, and you know what? The Hoffman camp is adamant. I mean, capital A adamant that they were not involved with this. So this is where it gets a little bit dicey, because I know that there is a police investigation underway. My sense is that something will have to happen, I think, by late July, early August on that front. And there's a kind of a, for lack of a better term, it is like a restraining order. I don't know how, I think that almost has to kind of be renewed at some point over the summer. That's my sort of layman's understanding of the situation, is that they will have to figure something out. I don't know that they can resolve this through an arbitrator or sort of as a, you know, out of court settlement, because I look at this and I think if you're the Hoffman camp and you're adamant that you didn't do this, well, I don't think you want to enter any sort of settlement territory, because that, I think the public would perceive that as you're guilty of something.
Absolutely.
And so I think that this is probably, unfortunately for all the parties involved, is probably going to get dragged out into the light of day. And in terms of a time frame for how that might happen, I'm not sure, but I think we can all agree that there was a 0% chance that these two guys could ever coexist again as teammates. And I think it behooved Ottawa to get rid of one in Mike Hoffman. And the question is, did Erik Karlsson at some point go to management with this and say, look, this is going on. And maybe Eric felt like the organization didn't have his back on this. And maybe that was, like I said, the final straw. But I have a feeling that the other pieces to this are going to be put into place at some point here in the coming months.
With all the exits and people leaving, do you not think, and there's been talk about the attendance and taking out seats, blah, 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 where the rink is, do you not think, Ian, if Erik Karlsson leaves town and then Duchesne, what is it, 1 or 2 years down the road?
One more year.
He decides that it's a mess and he doesn't want to stay there. Do you not think the organization is in massive trouble?
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Like, do I think that they're in danger of, losing this team to Quebec City, like some people will say? Or I don't think that, because I do think Gary Bettman looks at this market and says, okay, they have a fan base here. There appears to be a little bit of a distaste with the owner, with a change in ownership, a change that we do know, or we do believe that there are other groups interested in swooping in, buying this team, having a downtown rink. So I would find it really far-fetched that the sort of long-term viability of this franchise would be in jeopardy based on the recent event. But I can't sit here and tell you that if they trade Erik Karlsson that opening night, I wouldn't be shocked if opening night there was, 14,000 people inside a 19,000-seat arena. I mean, I would wager to say, guys, last year they maybe had a season ticket base of 7,500 people. And that's just an estimate. I think it's fair to say, based on the train wreck of a season that they've had and the train wreck of an offseason that has started here, if a conservative estimate says 50% of people renewed, now you're looking at 3,500 people are season ticket holders, or 4,000. So every night you got to move 14,000 tickets.
That's Greensboro
stuff. To an Ottawa
stuff.
Senators game in a cornfield in Kanata. I don't like the odds for the attendance looking great next year if this is the path that they're headed.
With Ian Mendez of TSN Radio in Ottawa, all of a sudden Melnick would be campaigning for the Leafs to play there 41 times a year. It'd be, all of a sudden his whole tune would change. Remember when they were on top of the world and don't sell your tickets to Leaf fans? I'm sure Melnick would love to see as many Leaf fans as possible in there when the Leafs do roll through town. Presuming Karlsson gets dealt this weekend, I mean, it's going to be difficult for... It's going to be difficult for the Senators to hit a grand slam here because of everything that's happened, because of how it feels like it's inevitable. If they feel like they got to move him, it's because he's told them that he's not signing with them, and teams are going to try to take advantage of that. That said, Erik Karlsson, when healthy, is one of the best players in the world, so there's going to be value that comes with it. But do you see a bar that has been set here where if Dorion doesn't get to it or exceed it, this whole offseason that's been a tire fire to begin with is going to look that much worse because they botched the Karlsson trade?
Yeah, and that's exactly it, because if they botch this in any way, shape, or form, that could set this franchise back 3, 5, 7 years, whatever. I mean, they traded Jason Spezza, and they basically got four quarters back for a dollar. They can't do that. They can't get spare parts here. And this is the fear, is that you go back in the last, like, how many times has a player been traded at the sort of peak of his career in the NHL? It's not often. I mean, look at what Boston got for Joe Thornton back in the day. Look at what the Penguins got for Jaromir Jagr back in the day. Like, guys that are at their absolute peak rarely get traded, and very rarely does the team get equal value back, right? So this is the fear for Ottawa. I think if you're going to use a measuring stick using Senators' franchise history, I think you got to use the Alexi Yashin situation, when everyone knew they probably had to trade Alexi Yashin back in the summer of 2001. And what did they get back in return? They got Jason Spezza. They got the number two overall pick from the Islanders, Jason Spezza, Zdeno Chara, and a spare part in Bill McCall. But if they could get a package back that included a top three pick and a player that ended up, Zdeno Chara is probably a bad example because he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but if they could get a very, very good NHL player and a high-end prospect, I think that would probably silence the fans. But that, to me, is the bar. It's the Yashin trade. And if they fall short of that, my goodness, there's going to be some angry people in this market.
Well, here's a scenario for you, Ian. You're right. You could probably get a great package. But what if you're trying to move Bobby Ryan's contract and you tie that to the deal? That's obviously going to water down the deal.
See, I don't think you should, because you've got a franchise player the likes of which you may never have again for another generation. If you mitigate his return by stapling a bad contract to it, I don't think you recover from that from a public relations perspective. I think people would much rather you come back with Bobby Ryan. If he has to play the next 4 years with Bobby Ryan, so be it. But don't water down the return of a generational player because you wanted to staple a bad contract. That to me, if I'm trying to read this market, that's what the fans are saying. They're like, okay, if we've gotten past the point of no return with Carlson, at least hit a home run. Don't hit a ground rule double. Don't hit a single. Hit a home run. And I don't think you can hit a home run if you attach a $7.25 million contract to it. As effective as Bobby Ryan can be, I just think that waters down the return for the captain.
Right. Thank you, Ian. Enjoy it out there, man. It sounds like you guys are getting geared up for a wild
Having fun. Lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about.
For once, Ottawa's a little bit more interesting than Toronto, guys.
Yes, it most certainly is. Always stealing the spotlight from Toronto. Just take it easy up there in Ottawa, okay?
All right. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Ian. Ian Mendez from TSN Radio in Ottawa.